The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, December 4th through Sunday, December 10th, 2023. The commentary for December was written by Christine Woodside, a lifelong Episcopalian, writer and editor, wife and mother of two grown daughters. She edits the Mountain Journal, Appalachia, and her new book is called Going Over the Mountain. She lives in Deep Rover, Connecticut, and worships at St. John's Episcopal Church in Essex. The commentary for Monday, December 4th, begins as follows with a passage from the second letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 and verses 5 through 7. His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness. For this reason, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. Here's the commentary for December 4th. I hike mountains. I sometimes run through forests. These quests take me much closer to God's purpose than if I sit still. I love being an athlete. Although I am slower than I once was, I find mental acuity when I push my body to cover miles in the woods. Enduring a little physical pain moves me closer to self-control in the rest of life. These words from 2 Peter remind me that strength requires preparation. I feel more ready for whatever life might bring when I am in good physical condition. If someone needed help, I could run up a set of stairs and provide assistance. If a severe storm hit my community, I would be able to help search the area or pitch in for the cleanup. This verse pushes me to practice strength in a way that connects me to goodness and prepares me to extend love and service. And now I'm going to read from the full letter, the second letter of Peter. This is chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Simeon, Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith as precious as ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be yours in abundance in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Thus He has given us, through these things, His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of lust and may become participants of the divine nature. For this very reason you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. For if these things are yours and are increasing among you, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For anyone who lacks these things is short-sighted and blind, and is forgetful of the cleansing of past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to confirm your call and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. And the moving forward question for this Monday, December 4th, is how do you support and strengthen your faith? The commentary for Tuesday, December 5th, begins with a passage from the book of Amos in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 4. Does a lion roar in the forest when it has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from its den if it has caught nothing? In this verse, God scolds the people of Israel for not heeding his words. A lion roars for a reason. We must respond to the cry. This story of hearing and not hearing reminds me of one of my daughters who often cried for reasons my husband and I could not identify. When our beloved baby cried, we were a little like the people of Israel. Sometimes we could discern this little person's message, but oftentimes we could not. We didn't speak her language, and she didn't yet speak ours. But this little frustrated being was not going to give up on us, and neither will God. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the book of Amos, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family that I brought up out of the land of Egypt. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Do two walk together unless they have made an appointment? Does a lion roar in the forest when it has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from its den if it has caught nothing? Does a bird fall into a snare on the earth when there is no trap for it? Does a snare spring up from the ground when it has taken nothing? Is a trumpet blown in a city and the people are not afraid? Does disaster befall a city unless the Lord has done it? Surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who cannot prophesy? Proclaim to the strongholds in Ashdod and to the strongholds in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves on Mount Samaria, and see what great tumults are within it, and what oppressions are in its midst. They do not know how to do right, says the Lord, those who store up violence and robbery in their strongholds. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an adversary shall surround the land and strip you of your defense, and your strongholds shall be plundered. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, December 5th, is, are you listening to or ignoring God? The commentary for Wednesday, December 6th, begins with a passage from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. With the Lord, one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Here's the commentary. I have always struggled against clocks. 1 minute gazing out a window can feel like an hour. An hour wrestling words on a screen can seem like a minute. Anthropologist Edward T. Hall wrote that Americans manage time on rigid schedules and that people in many non-Western cultures go about many activities simultaneously, focusing on relationships instead of schedules. When I worked as an editor and reporter at a daily newspaper, time functioned on a fluid basis. An accident, fire, or election could change everyone's plans in an instant. I thrived there, whether listening to the police scanner or standing in the icy night reporting a house fire. Emergencies offered me a glimpse of God's wider meaning of time. I have to live in the settled world and follow its time constraints. But when I can get away from clocks, I can see that it is not my responsibility to predict what God's time means. And now I'm going to read the full passage from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And we begin, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now by this we may be sure that we know him, if we obey his commandments. Whoever says, 'I have come to know him,' but does not obey his commandments, is a liar, and in such a person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says, 'I abide in him,' ought to walk just as he walked. Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new commandment that is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says, 'I am in the light,' while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling." And the moving forward question for this day is, what is your relationship with time? The commentary for Thursday, December 7th, begins with a passage from the Book of Psalm in the Old Testament, chapter 18, verse 2. "My God, my rock in whom I put my trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, and my refuge, you are worthy of praise." In an emergency situation, how would I cry out to God? I learned the answer one spring night many years ago. I had taken my two daughters, then 8 and 6, into the southern Appalachians to camp on a grassy sag 6,000 feet above sea level. Before we finished dinner, a severe thunderstorm moved in. We dove into the tent. They lay in their sleeping bags as I sang the old hymn, "My Life Goes On in Endless Song," shouting it above the din of the storm. I held out my arms to each side, creating a beam to steady the tent. I was terrified, and I was acting on instinct, praying and singing. I found out how I would respond in an emergency. In those fearful moments, I drew on God, my rock, in whom I put my trust. Then and still today, trusting in God can feel chaotic, even risky. But when I open my scared heart, God speaks and is with me always. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 18, verses 1 through 20. "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of perdition assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness in his covering around him, his canopy thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him there broke through his clouds hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He reached down from on high. He took me. He drew me out of mighty waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, and he recompensed me. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, December 7th, is, in moments of crisis, do you cry out to God? The commentary for Friday, December 8th, begins with a passage from the book of Jude, chapter 10. But these people slander whatever they do not understand, and they are destroyed by those things that, like irrational animals, they know by instinct. The letter of Jude warns the young Christian church not to fall under the spell of false teachers, those who believe they will attain salvation, even as they mock what they do not understand. I find that one of the hardest aspects of being a Christian in the fallen world is deciding how to respond when someone mocks me or my faith. How do I respond in a Christ-like manner when someone makes fun of a child or bullies others? What do I say to others whose cynicism colors every conversation? When a wave of such words rolls into a room, I need not stand in the creeping waters. I can step back, say something, and with God's help, push against that tide. And now I'm going to read from the full chapter of the book of Jude in the New Testament, of course, chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, who are beloved in God the Father, and kept safe for Jesus Christ. May mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Beloved, while eagerly preparing to write to you about the salvation we share, I find it necessary to write and appeal to you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain intruders have stolen in among you, people who long ago were designated for this condemnation as ungodly, who pervert the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you are fully informed, that the Lord, who once for all saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their own position, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains, in deepest darkness, for the judgment of the great day. Likewise, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which in the same manner as they indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural lust, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these dreamers also defile the flesh, reject authority, and slander the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael contended with the devil and disputed about the body of Moses, he did not dare to bring a condemnation of slander against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people slander whatever they do not understand, and they are destroyed by those things that, like irrational animals, they know by instinct. Woe to them, for they go the way of Cain, and abandon themselves to Balaam's error for the sake of gain, and perish in Korah's rebellion. These are blemishes on your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, feeding themselves. They are waterless clouds carried along by the winds, autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the deepest, darkest have been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, "See, the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict everyone of all the deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers and malcontents. They indulge their own lusts. They are bombastic in speech, flattering people to their own advantage." And moving forward, questions for this day is, when you hear harsh words, how do you respond? And are there times when silence is a good choice? How do you discern your response? The commentary for Saturday, December 9th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 21. "Give, therefore, to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." My father was a commercial loan officer who had been poor as a child. He believed that money could be used for good. He also warned me constantly against worshiping money. I scoffed at him because I didn't think I put money first in my life. But the truth is, there have been times when I took writing assignments about subjects that I knew too little about or did not feel invested in just because of the money. The work went badly. In some cases, the editors rejected the stories. When I work outward from my skills, I have found that I do find work, enough work to do my part in our household. In Matthew 22, Jesus tells us to live in the world as it is, but keep money in its place. Separate money and taxes from matters of love and faith. Participate in the economy, but do not expect worldly things to drive away evil and loneliness. And now I'm going to read from Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. "Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?' But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, 'Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax.' And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. And the moving forward question for this day, what role does money play in your life? Is it time to reevaluate? Now we'll turn to the commentary for Sunday, December 10th, the second Sunday of Advent. It begins with a passage from Mark, chapter 1, verse 3, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Advent is a powerful time to make straight the paths of the Lord. I come to Advent each year eager for a new phase, a clearing of my spiritual decks. Actually, I step away from my regular routine for renewal 3 or 4 times a year. Just as John the Baptist left distractions behind and went to the wilderness, I too go to the wilderness, or the closest thing to it in the Northeast, the White Mountains of New Hampshire. Sometimes I take provisions on my back and sleep in tents and crude shelters in the forest with trusted companions or alone. Sometimes I retreat with just my dog to a house in a small mountain town where I spend most of the time writing and walking on paths. Through my journals and my wanderings in the woods and mountains, I call out to myself, renew my faith, listen for God's guidance. I clear out the cobwebs of my harried mind so that I can hear the arrival of Emmanuel. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Join the baptizer, John the baptizer, appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Moving forward question for today, this Advent, how will you make straight the paths of the Lord? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.